that nurturing piece comes from setting a foundation and getting something, getting one thing right. And then you can go a little bit deeper and then you can go a little bit deeper. I mean, if you hadn't, again, like using the GDPR as an example, I can't tell me to unsubscribe. So I've done with that. Or it's like, I haven't heard from somebody and I'm like, you're inviting me to a webinar. Who, what do you do? You know? And this is funny, as I opted in, I was listening to an interview on YouTube about Medium, because again, I'm totally testing that. And I was listening to it and I went to the guy's site. I liked his stuff and I opted in, and his first email, we're excited you're here. And I was like, who is this from? His business name wasn't there. His name wasn't there. I was like, dude, you got to remind me who you are, even though I just signed up 10 minutes ago. You know, so there's those little things that, I mean, and I'll email him and say, I totally love your stuff. Just a heads up, I kind of forgot what this was.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be here again on another Model the Masters signature episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. In our Model the Masters signature series, we interview masters of a particular stage of the transformational marketing journey to enable us to model from what they do. I want to help us all create excellence in marketing and elevate our marketing beyond the noise of the ordinary by learning from masters of their craft. It's a great privilege to have as my guest today to explore the topic of lead nurturing, my friend from the beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, Kim Doyle, the co-founder of Lead Surveys and famous formerly as the WordPress chick. Kim has appeared twice on the InnovaBuzz podcast already, and I've also had the privilege of being a guest on her podcast. In today's episode, Kim told us about her values of connection, of self-awareness and growth, and how she uses all of that to build trust by really knowing her audience and consistently showing up for them in an authentic way and bringing them value. She told us about her belief that solving your customers' problems is key, and doing what others are unwilling to do will differentiate you and have you stand out. She told us about her strategies, including allowing her to be really clear about who her audience is, knowing what's working for them and for her in the information that she provides, and then building from a solid foundation. So without further ado, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from today's master, Kim Doyle. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to another Model the Masters episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast. In today's episode, I'm really excited to welcome, actually back to the InnovaBuzz podcast for the third time, I think, from beautiful San Francisco Bay Area in California, Kim Doyle. So welcome to this Model the Masters episode, Kim.
Thanks so much for having me, Jürgen. That's fun. I'm a three-peat.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a privilege to have you back on the show as a guest, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. So Kim's a prolific content creator. She's a podcaster and she's co-founder of Lead Surveys. Now, some people might remember Kim as the WordPress chick, but things are changing a bit for her business and she might tell us a little bit about that. What I'd like to explore with you today, Kim, is basically about your lead nurturing process and lead nurturing system. So how you nurture leads, what you believe is important around that, what strategies you have in place to do that, what are your values and beliefs in relation to that. But before we before we do any of that, give us a short snapshot of your business, what you do and why you do it.
My business, like you mentioned, it's changed quite a bit. So I'm completely out of service work, but it's kind of all things content marketing. I like to talk about it, teach about it, write it, record about it. because I believe content marketing is the core. Even if you're going to do paid traffic, content marketing is marketing today. And then, of course, I've got the SaaS lead survey. So it's kind of a two-part, but so much of the content marketing is what's going to be driving lead surveys as that grows. And, you know, so I use it to build the personal brand and measure from there what's working. And it's been fascinating to pivot from WordPress into sort of all things content.
Mm. And having observed that, I found that particularly how you nurtured the leads when you were making that change in your business, when you were launching lead surveys, how you were nurturing the leads, how you were using content and education to do that lead nurturing. And I thought you're a really good model for how to do that in a very serviceable way. So being of service to the audience.
Well, thanks. And in all transparency too, Jürgen, it's definitely something that I'm just sort of a student of everything I do and look at it as mastery. And I've tried different things and I will continue to try different things with generating leads, with nurturing leads, with, okay, thinking context and where that lead came from and how you nurture them. And so I've become a little bit obsessed with it and constantly testing, which you kind of have to do until you hit that right thing. And then it's, how can I scale this and measure what's really working?
Hmm. You know, you already said a number of things there that I think are really important in the whole context, but just taking a step back in the context of lead nurturing, what are the values that are important to you?
The values for me, it's all about the connection. I am grateful that I feel that this, you know, marketing today has shifted a little bit. It's much less pushing things at people and it's become more conversational. And obviously it depends on your market and your business and the context of that. But the most important is that connection and creating that connection and that element of trust with your leads. You know, they may not choose to buy with you or do business with you today, but if you do it correctly, it's going to be an easy sale down the road when they are ready.
So the connection that you build by doing that gives you trust, gives them trust in you and starts to build that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a connection, but the relationship, to your point, it's really building that strength within the relationship.
Hmm. So what else is important in the context of lead nurturing? What other values?
Well, some of the values too is, I promise not to rant, but I think there's a level, and I keep pulling this into everything. And so first I'm going to speak more to say the small business owner, the solo business owner, right, as opposed to say a corporation, because the message and the voice is very different for those two markets. And so if you're, you know, a smaller company or a solo entrepreneur, you have to be really aware of the self-awareness, right, comes into everything. And everybody knows I'm a big Gary Vee fan and he talks about that. But I was thinking, so as an example, if you're building a business, so let's say you've been in business for 5 years and you have built a list of people and your business starts transitioning, I think there's a way to nurture the leads so that they grow with you. Because the audience that I built when I was starting WordPress Chick, right, which that was 10 years ago, is not necessarily the audience that's going to grow with me today. So there's an element to nurturing leads in terms of how you communicate with them, how frequently you communicate with them, so that they grow with you and they stay along the journey. And people are going to drop off. But I think there's a little bit of sort of future pacing. It's not the correct word. I can't think of the right terminology. But looking ahead of where you're going and setting the tone to build that relationship. And so For smaller businesses, I think frequent communication is key to, you know, that's a value to me that it's, let me ask you this, Jürgen, to kind of flip it. With all of these emails coming out with the GDPR, how many lists or how many emails have you gotten from people that you completely forgot you even subscribed to?
Yeah, huge number. Right? I get GDPR emails all the time and I think who is that?
Exactly. And yeah, it's because they don't stay in touch. So there's sort of I look at lead nurturing as there's fundamentals, right? It's kind of like anything with online marketing where you can go super complex or super basic. And I think the most simple is consistency. And if that is, you know, just doing a follow-up sequence of say 3 to 5 emails, and then you move them on to a once a week newsletter or email or something. But there is this element of trust that you build. And you know, as an example, so I've got the Facebook group, content creators, and I thought, okay, there's a ton of value in here and completely separate, but I think Facebook groups are a phenomenal way to grow an audience and to bring leads in, because you're also nurturing them in the day-to-day conversation that you have by the way you show up in the group. But I thought, okay, we need to get these people obviously out of the group. And of course, now there's a GDPR, but we added a question for emails. And I thought, there's all this content in here. Facebook does not make it easy for you to archive or search content. So I created the Creator's Pulse, where once a week I go through and I pull out content. And so again, that there's no value in that to me other than making it easier for people who are part of a free group. So that's a complete trust builder, right? It's simply a value add. So that key in context of where you're nurturing and how you're doing it comes into play also. So I think I totally forgot the question. But, you know, and then you flip it to a business, and I don't know, I'm not in a B2B space necessarily, meaning like a big corporate, I don't go after big corporate clients or anything. But I think even they're finding that they need to have a more unique voice, and that needs to come through. Otherwise, you become irrelevant. You're just another tool or business, and there's no connection. There's no relationship. So I think there is a piece of the lead nurturing at a higher level with B2B that take an example of like Wendy's, and there's, you know, the hamburger chain in the United States. Like their social accounts are super hysterical. They're witty, and they've got this voice, and all of a sudden you've got this company that's been around for years, and they've stood up with a unique voice that is targeting their audience. And so the lead nurturing piece, you need to set that tone. And so part of that comes back to that self-awareness, where you really need to say, you know, who are we? How do we move through the world? Like another piece, okay, here's my side rant, and please just stop me, Jurgen. Maybe I'm too much caffeine because now I'm on a roll, but is I see a lot of people on social, and I don't know if it's the shock value, people using, whether it's swearing, and it doesn't offend me, but I always think, was that necessary, or was it a shock value? Where's the value for me in you delivering a message harsh or taking a stance when it's not consistent? I have followed other marketers that use, I don't want to say, you know, certain language or a certain style of writing that might be crass or offensive, but I can see that there's a craft in the way they do it. So I think people need to be careful when it comes to nurturing leads about, where am I going with this? When somebody comes into my world, how long do I want them to stay here? I mean, as an example, e-commerce, right? If you're selling one-off products, you don't have recurring, obviously you want them to come shop. And unless you're out there building a real unique story behind e-com, it depends on what you're doing. But I really think there's the self-awareness piece and looking down the road at how can I bring this person on the journey with me.
Yeah, I hear a lot of things there coming up over and over again, and they're things like matching the message. So, you know, you talked about targeting small business owners, but then if a business is looking at working with large corporations or end consumers, then matching the message and knowing who the audience is really important. And I think that's the value that comes out of that. The other one that really came through there over and over is giving value, being valuable. And I know the example you quoted about the summary email you send out about the Facebook group, I mean, I find that enormously valuable because at the moment I've got so much on, I don't get a lot of time to spend in Facebook. And I've found information in that summary email that I missed on Facebook that was useful for me. So, you know, giving value is really something that I think comes through there as a belief that you have.
It really is. And even with that, because I know there's a fine line between doing everything for free and then you say to yourself, okay, well, what's the next step? So that also kind of is that self-awareness piece of knowing, okay, there's something down the road, but I do have an offer. There is, and I'm not saying, like, I love the group. I have a ton. It's probably the most fun I've had in a long time. And I think it's quality people. And I knew going into it, like I had to say to myself, okay, if you're going to do this, there has to be a commitment to showing up consistently and engaging. And so I was in for that. And the value add it's just a win-win. Okay. So then the next step is, all right, well, this is working. Now, how can I take this recap, this, you know, archive sort of what happened in the week and put it into a site that's of value for people who are not fond of email or, and they want to dig in one day or whatever that looks like. I don't know, but it's that unspoken psychological effect that happens when somebody gives, and then you have to, sorry to do it again, but Gary Vee, the jab, 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 right hook, right? Those are all, they're like value deposits, and they just start adding up so that when you do make an offer, people already trust you. You've shown that you're willing to show up. And so however you nurture those leads, it has to be consistent and in alignment with where you're taking what you're doing.
That's a really good point. So having the self-awareness to know where does it transition from free to now it's a paid service or a paid product, and having it all in alignment.
Well, and again, like, because, you know, Gary Vee's like, give it away. But it's like, well, you've got VaynerMedia paying your bills and you've got these investments and all of those things. So the Gary Vee brand is not his bread and butter. Right. And so, yeah, he gives it all away. And certainly those are strategies that VaynerMedia implements for clients. But Gary gets paid regardless of whether he does Gary Vee or not. And so that's his, you know, it drives business to VaynerMedia, but he's making money. You know, he built VaynerMedia before he jumped into Gary Vee, the brand. And so there is a balance of what can I give away without feeling resentful? What can I give away that makes me the trusted expert, the trusted authority, the trusted person, whatever you want to call it, that people stay on my list and appreciate this. You know, as an example, you know, I joke around with my daily emails, almost daily emails. And sometimes every now and then I'll do a little bit of a rant. I did one last week on Facebook pontification. all the people that just, I'm going to spew wisdom, and they just push things at people. And the thing is, it's when you take that stance also, but I have the relationship with my list so that I know this is going to resonate with people. And I was right. It completely did. I didn't have anything to sell them. I think I was sharing something. But the point was, you know, it's that connection piece again, because there's so much noise. And the only way you're going to stand out is by being yourself, which I'm kind of going sideways with this. We can come back to lead nurturing, but you got to really find that voice within yourself.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned something there about standing out, and I had an interesting conversation on the podcast recently with a guest. I think we're publishing that this Friday, or maybe it was last Friday. What's important to you about standing out and how you actually stand out?
You know what's funny, Jürgen, is it's when I am simply myself that things work. If I could go back, I mean, I spent thousands of dollars in masterminds and following models and systems and stuff and, you know, doing high ticket offers because everybody was doing a high ticket offer. And I mean, it was a done for you podcast service. It wasn't like we were just throwing garbage at people, but that still wasn't what I wanted to do. So every single time I have created content, or when I do my solo podcasts do really well because I'm just speaking from the heart. There's no way that I can record an episode and be somebody other than who I am. And so that piece of it, it's I don't want to say it's scary, but that's when things work. I mean, really, it's the only differentiator. Like when you were telling me originally about messages from the masters, I'm like, God, that's so unique. It's so in alignment with who you are and how you practice business and how you move through the world. It literally gave me goosebumps because it's just, seriously, like I was sitting here right now, but because it's uniquely you. And so that standout piece, I don't know. I see too many people trying to do something because it's the way somebody else does it. And then it just feels stiff. That's the best way I can describe it. It's when it feels stiff, right? Like, why does Gary Vee succeed? Because he's Gary Vee. He totally does him, right? And I mean, there's plenty of other people. And that's the other thing is you don't have to be an authority. And you see that in marketing. And there's all these names and influencers and whatnot. But, you know, take the time. I love it when I end up down a rabbit hole and I discover, you know, five other people. I've fallen in love with Medium recently, and I'm just digging into these people that I've never heard of before. And then I go down this little rabbit hole, and it's because they're taking the time to just use their voice, say what they have to say. And it's not the typical wash, rinse, repeat, internet marketing. And again, I do all that stuff too, so I'm not negating it, but you have to find a way to bring yourself into it. And I honestly think the only way to do it is through the doing. Most people try it the way they see everybody doing it, and then that doesn't work. So it's like, well, heck, you got nothing to lose by being yourself at this point.
Yeah. All right. I think we might move on a little bit to strategies, but I just want to recap a little bit. So we've talked on values about connection to build trust. We've talked about self-awareness. So who are we? Who are we for? And when does it no longer be free? We talked about consistency and giving value, and then congruence, being uniquely yourself and being comfortable with that. So is there anything else that I might have missed?
No. No, you nailed it.
Yeah. All right. That's good. So in terms of strategy for lead nurturing, so how do you sort of go about it? What's the first step? So let's go from the point, okay, you've captured leads in some ways, and now they're on your list. So how do you nurture those leads?
Well, I'm going to kind of do it sort of in a twofold, right? So I definitely believe in a follow-up sequence. And it's the funny thing is the follow-up sequence, I actually had a conversation about this today in terms of campaigns and people running campaigns and funnel campaign, whatever you want to call it. But the nurturing piece, it tends to be a, okay, here's, you know, welcome, thank you, here's your download, that piece. It's a 3 to 5 email sequence, and it's, here's the podcast, here's join the Facebook group, here's where else you can connect. And I think where that falls short is there's an opportunity, when people come into your world, they're going to go through that stuff anyways. Oh, she's got a podcast, and or put those in the footer link, right? I think the biggest takeaway that I've shifted this year, Jürgen, is I don't know, have you ever read or listened to The Story Brand by Donald Miller?
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge fan of that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Hmm. I fell in love with that. And we all understand the hero's journey. But the point of the hero's journey for the listeners is that your leads, in this case, need to see themselves as the hero, right? It's not about you being the hero in the hero's journey. It's about your audience and your subscribers, your customers seeing themselves there. And so I think how I'm pivoting today, because I did the follow-up sequence, and maybe there was a link to a one-time offer or something with that. But how I would pivot that message today, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping around, but how I'd pivot that message a little bit today is it would solely be about talking to, like, I've got an ideal avatar, whatever, and it would be about the problem. So let me give you a definitive example. So as an example, what I would do when people join the Facebook group, we ask them, what is your biggest challenge with content and content creation? And so we take those answers. I have, I'm not kidding you, Google Doc, over 100 pages of answers where people struggle with content. And so now I would take that and I would craft that follow-up sequence and talk to them about their problems, right? What are their challenges? And not so much just a question answer. I believe in storytelling for lead nurturing, it's that connection piece again. And so the nurturing piece, I would be talking about their problems, maybe rephrasing in different ways, telling stories, but it would completely be about the lead and not follow me here, connect with me here, buy this from me, even though I would have an upsell or a one-time offer or a next step for someone to come, like joining the group, right? So, okay, you're on my email list, make sure to join the group, or here's a podcast, do maybe one of those. But that nurturing piece, it has to be about connecting again. And so for me, I would step back and answer some of the questions in a way that solves their problem. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, it does, totally. And I really like that approach. I'm curious, how do you build that list of hundreds of questions that people have had? Is that from the Facebook community?
Yeah, it's literally from the Facebook community. And here's another little twist on that too, is you're, as a podcaster, you know, you hear stuff all the time from people, and I've taken stuff from that, but we ask three questions And one is, where did you hear about us? And I'll tell you something else for leads that I've been testing. But where did you hear about us? What's your biggest challenge? And then I'm asking them, what is your email, so that I can send the creator's pulse. Now with GDPR, I have to cross that bridge and figure out how we're going to do that. I still do a double opt-in, because then I manually put them on the list, but they still have to confirm their email. So I need to see what the strategy workaround plan is with GDPR. But, we just ask questions. And from that, I can tell you, you know, what I did. Here's another piece for the lead nurturing that you would tie in, right? So I took 30 of those questions. I shot 10 videos. I took sort of that content remastering, repurposing piece. And I pulled the transcripts out. I did the video for YouTube. I've published a couple so far. Then I pull quotes and stuff out of it for Instagram stories, for Instagram feed, for Facebook, whatnot. Then I'll do a long form post, but simply, and it's literally just the questions people asked. I stood in front of the camera. It's a 3 to 5 minute video. I don't know how well those are going to do on YouTube. And especially because I talk a little bit fast and too quickly, but I can see where people are resonating. I'm not necessarily a vlogger or a YouTuber, but it's just answering those questions, which YouTube is a search engine, right? So again, then that's a little element of lead nurturing. If I know what their problems are, I can send them to a video. They can listen to a podcast. I know I'm going sideways. I'm glad we've talked before.
Yeah, okay. So I mean, there's a pretty basic thing there. Ask questions of your audience to see what their issues and their problems and their needs are, and then produce information that can help them with that and build that up as a repository of, as a knowledge base, if you like. So the next person comes in and asks the question again, you say, well, I already answered that in this video.
Yeah. And the other, so let's kind of flip that. And so if someone's new and they don't have a relationship, or they don't have a place to pull those answers from, right? Is then you have to, it's testing, right? I mean, you have to pay for data with time or money, one way or the other. And so maybe you have five pieces of content or five things that will differentiate your leads. So let's say one could be a podcast episode, one could be a YouTube video, I'm just grabbing things, one can be an article on Medium, one could be the Facebook group. And so you send it to everybody and you start segmenting based on who's clicking those specific links. So they're getting tagged in your email service providers. Okay, this person wanted a video, this person wanted the podcast, you know, and so you start seeing which content is serving. I mean, you have to figure that stuff out, and then you can send more targeted content, right? Or targeted nurturing emails to your audience based on what they've already told you or demonstrated they're interested in.
And it all comes back to really knowing your audience well. So you mentioned at the beginning, you start out with the ideal avatar and then understanding their problems. So I think they're key steps of the process before you get to this stage of nurturing the lead.
It is. And the other thing when it comes to strategy, and this is with any element, but since we're talking leads and lead nurturing, is you have to get the foundation set, right? It's kind of like you can't jump into this massive multi-repurposing of content if you're not even producing any content right now. Pick one thing and be consistent with it. So it's the same thing for this. If you don't have multiple places for people to opt in and do business, if you don't have any sort of campaigns running, because I think that's where a lot of business owners fail, is that they have the opt-ins on the site, maybe they'll run an ad, and it's like you kind of forget about it. Like it's supposed to be doing this thing, as opposed to, it's just like anything in marketing, right? It's 80% marketing, 20% the thing, in a way. And I really believe that, because I was horrible at marketing myself. And now it's like, oh, look what happens when you email people. And so I think that if you're new to this space, then just make a commitment to consistency and you'll get better at it. You'll get feedback on it. So many people have said, oh gosh, you know, I started emailing and I'm getting results. People are responding, and people signed up for a reason. And the people that are going to unsubscribe or move on, that's fine. But that nurturing piece comes from setting a foundation and getting one thing right. And then you can go a little bit deeper, and then you can go a little bit deeper. I mean, if you hadn't, again, like using the GDPR as an example, I can't tell me to unsubscribe. So I've done with that. Or it's like, I haven't heard from somebody and I'm like, you're inviting me to a webinar. What do you do? You know? And this is funny, as I opted in, I was listening to an interview on YouTube about Medium, because again, I'm totally testing that. And I was listening to it and I went to the guy's site. I liked his stuff and I opted in, and his first email, "We're excited you're here." And I did, I was like, "Who is this from?" His business name wasn't there. His name wasn't there. I was like, "Dude, you got to remind me who you are," even though I just signed up 10 minutes ago. Hmm. You know, so there's those little things that, I mean, and I'll email him and say, "I totally love your stuff. Just a heads up, I kind of forgot what this was." And so I think that people just need to remember that you can't get into, people love complex sequences. You have all of these different, you know, I don't know, there's like soap opera sequences. There's so much you can do with this, but master the fundamentals, get simple strategies working that you can do consistently, and then put a little gas on it.
Hmm. Yeah. I love that. And it's I love those GDPR emails that say, unless you click on this link, you'll no longer hear from us, or something like that. So they're doing the, you have to opt back into the list, which is one of the variants of the regulation, as I understand it. But I think, well, who are you? No, I'm not going to click on the button. You just saved me the trouble of unsubscribing.
thanks for helping me unroll my email list.
Yeah. It's funny. Talk to us about some of the next steps then. So you've got that email sequence happening. You talked a little bit about calls to action. How do you do that transition from there in terms of what are the next steps that the reader should be taking?
Well, I'm going to just use kind of my business as an example, and I wish I had done this sooner. I think that it's super important nurturing them, and you decide on that sequence, whether it's, like I said, you know, 3 to 5, if you want to do a follow-up. I love the daily emails. Again, they're almost daily for me, but I love consistent email marketing. But I think that next step is you have to make an offer sooner, because I think the sooner that you make an offer to your audience and to the lead, and it doesn't have to be for something paid. It could be whether it's a webinar or to join a group, right? Or listen to the podcast. Like, I think you need to do the ask sooner rather than later. And I don't mean too soon. Again, this is that self-awareness piece, but it's very easy then to just become this person that just sends information. And the longer it takes you to make an offer, the harder it is to make the offer, in my opinion, right? That was my personal experience. So I would do something, you know, lower point of entry. And this is that sort of value ladder that I know Russell Brunson talks about. Hmm. But I think if you can stay focused, because that gets involved too, right? If you don't have a basic offering and a small kind of front end offer, if you don't have those things working, don't create a value ladder. That's too much. So I think, again, coming back to simplicity, when you have the initial sequence and you've been following up with them, emailing them. So I would say within the first month, make them an offer. It's something simple, and it should lead into the next point. So for me, as an example, I am creating this, there are audio sessions and stuff, but it's a low end entry point that would then go into a product that already exists, or, you know, a coaching or something. But it's also, because I love audio content, that's why I chose audio sessions, because it's a way to bring people into my world. And I just think there's a ton of value in whether it's listening or watching somebody. But so there is that connection piece. And so really, I think you have to make the offer sooner rather than later, because one, I think it clarifies that you are a business. And two, it's, you know, it's... You're in business. You need to make money. And so it will also get the people who are just looking for freebies. I did that for a long time. I created a list of freebie seekers with WordPress Chick who just wanted me to, I can't tell how many emails I used to get, Jürgen. Can you help me fix this? Or never can I hire you, but can you help me fix this? Or how do you do this or whatever? And so I finally got to a point where I had to put on the contact form. I don't do support or via email if you're interested in hiring me. Not that that stopped it, but you know, so make an offer. I think the next step is making an offer, and it's a soft sell. And for people, it's, I don't know what it is about the internet versus offline, because you don't go into a business offline and get offended that they, you know, have something near the cash register to upsell you. Yeah. It's a business. They just do it. And so I think we need to remind ourselves. And when you're doing it from a point of coming back to the value, they need your solution. They've got a problem that hopefully you've listened to. Hopefully, you know, and again, if you're still starting out, you have to test this, because you're going to have to do something that makes you a little bit uncomfortable to get the data worked. It didn't. I've thrown out way too many things without going back and saying, okay, well, part of this worked. So making the offer for something, a soft sell, you are in business, test it. And if it's solving a problem, why wouldn't people be interested?
Mm. Yeah, so that's great points. And I think, you know, I think we're getting a pretty clear picture of your strategy now. So looking at really knowing who the target audience is, or the who are the leads that you've got in place, what's their problem, and really knowing what the problem is that they're having or what problems they are. And you can do that through asking them, which is quite revolutionary. And then testing things. Having multiple places to where people can opt in to the list and select to be in your audience, and then consistency, getting their feedback, responding to their issues and making offers fairly early on. And the offer might be, multiple stages to get into your big business product. And I know
it is,
that...
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know that your lead surveys product is a tool that very specifically then allows you to segment your audience into different groups, so that, you know, one group might have a specific problem, another group might have a different problem, or they might, they might have different preferences for what kind of media they consume.
Exactly, which is where that came from, because I've done Survey Monkey surveys, and it's just, you get how many percentages of people answering out of, you know, your list, and that whole thing, which we've talked about that before, but it's, God, what if you knew from the beginning who they were and what they wanted help with, or what they wanted? You know, the other piece of that, if I could just take a step back with part of the nurturing, is besides making an offer sooner, I think when your end goal is just to make life better for the people on your list, and I know that sounds very altruistic, but if it's, look, I want you to feel better for being in my world, on my list, visiting my website, whatever it is, like, I don't care. If I can share something else that somebody else wrote, created, is selling because it's a value and I trust this person, then why wouldn't I share it? I'm never one of those people. Still, it's strange to me. If you're going to be interviewed, share it. Somebody, like, if you have been given a platform. So I think also saying, people trust you more when it's not, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So there is that piece of also saying, I know that I have something that solves your problem. I also know that I can't solve every problem. So when you start listening, that was the other thing that really shifted for me. And you mentioned this with... the listening, right? Finding out what people wanted is, I get on calls a lot with people. I just, hey, you want to hop on a Skype call? And I don't mean like a coaching call, but it's taking the time to have those conversations. And is it a small sampling of the market? Absolutely. But you start seeing patterns. And, you know, to quote Shane Mila of Thrive Themes, I remember listening to him on a webinar, and he said, it's really easy to succeed, actually. Just be willing to do what other people won't, which is getting on the phone, putting a phone number on your website, or saying, how can I help you? Or what can I do? And it's a long game. So you got to figure out how to support yourself through that process. But, you know, when you're willing to do the stuff that other people won't, you're going to come out ahead. There's no guarantee of when, but it will happen.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really great point. I love that quote. So I think that's a good time to move on to our exceptions round, which I've got a set of three questions that really summarize what we've talked about, but probably get you to address it in a little bit of a different way. So hopefully it'll help people in improve their own lead nurturing process or systems with insights that you provide. So the first thing is, what behavior do you do to be great at nurturing leads? And, you know, this might be what you just mentioned, something that's different behavior to anyone else.
Well, this is, you're probably going to be sick of this, Jürgen, but it's the whole just show up. You simply have to do it. You're not going to like doing it all the time. Trust me, it's a commitment to being consistent and hitting publish, right? So with the leads, it's weird. When I was emailing, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a week, and then I could go 4 or 5 days because life got in the way or something. And it's like, oh God, I'm like, okay, you haven't done this, but you need to hit publish. So the behavior is just showing back up and doing it again and again. And some are going to be great. Some are going to suck. Some you're going to get good data from, but you have to put it out there. It's, I don't know what it is about this space where people get very caught up in consumption as opposed to production. And so you just have to show up and hit publish.
Great. And I know you do that. So it's interesting because you mentioned, you know, occasionally life gets in the way and you might miss a day or so. And I'm sure, because I've found this too with doing a weekly podcast, and there have been occasions where I've missed one and people actually contact me and say, you know, are you okay or what's happening? You missed an episode.
Well, and that's just it. That's where you know you've made that connection with your audience, you know. And I know a lot of this has to do with your steps here. And I think when it comes to anything with leads, with strategy, with conversions, you have to get, no pun intended, but you walk through it with steps, right? You get good at one thing and then you can add it. And I'll tell you what, like, I hate Infusionsoft. I know people, I was like, I don't ever want to touch this thing again. I prefer simplicity. I don't know that I'm ever going to get into super complicated funnels or sequences, if this and that, and the conditional logic, which is why lead surveys. I'm like, let's just start. Let's let people figure out who's signing up. Most people, that's going to be such a differentiating factor. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there.
Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think are your three top beliefs for excelling at lead nurturing?
Testing and measuring. And I will be super honest that I'm not great at that, but you can't fix what you're not looking at. And this is anybody, you know, it's kind of like not wanting to step on the scale. Well, you're not going to get in better shape unless you look at the truth. So there is that piece, I think, that you have to measure what's looking. I think too, consistency still, you have to be consistent. Nothing's going to work. You know, it's kind of, again, using fitness as an analogy, is that you're not going to be in better shape in a month if you work out twice. If you work out for 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you're going to notice a difference in 30 days. So it's the same thing, the consistency. And then I think it's important to ask for feedback. You know, I have asked people with, what are your thoughts on this email? I did that with the Creator's Pulse. I said, what do you guys think? Is this helpful? And I got, yeah, we love it. And Devinder had reached out and said, I think doing kind of subcategories. I was like, great. Which seemed obvious after, but you have to then ask for the feedback and then course correct.
Yeah.
I don't know how many beliefs I gave you there, but.
Yeah, no, that's measuring. Three. I've written three that, yeah. Ask for feedback and be flexible, I guess, is part of that. All right. Now, you might have mentioned this one, so it's do what other people don't do. What do you think is the key difference that makes the difference in your exceptional lead nurturing strategies, behavior, systems?
Well, you know, I feel like I'm, I don't know how helpful this is, Jürgen, because I would love to be more systematized. I'm much better at sort of mastery of fundamentals, like I was saying. So the difference to me, consistency. And the other piece is your voice. You have to have, whether you're a brand or a personal brand or an agency, you have to be consistent in your message and how you speak to your audience, which is going to, you know, people will look for it. Like, here's a great example. I'm sure you've heard this, Jürgen, as a podcaster. You know, people listen to you and they get familiar with the intonations in your voice and the questions and the type of product you like to talk about, or I mean, content you like to talk about. So then they read and they hear your voice if they read your written word, right? So there is this cohesiveness that happens. So I guess, you know, the difference in all of this is you have to be, again, the consistent piece, but really pulling your voice through it. And it's that connection piece again. I feel like I didn't answer that question, but it's kind of, I don't know, for me, it's again, just being myself.
Yeah. No, I think, yeah, I think that's consistent with what you told us earlier in the strategy. So, yeah, being yourself, but focus on mastering the fundamentals and then consistently just doing that. All right. This has been really great, Kim. I've really enjoyed this, and I've got a lot of notes here that we'll pull together and put some notes in the show notes around what we've learnt about this, and hopefully that will give people a really good idea of how to model exceptional lead nurturing. So Where can people reach out to you and say thank you for what you've shared today?
The website's fine, kimdoyle.com. And then all my social profiles are there and everything. If you just search Kim Doyle, and it's D-O-Y-A-L. I think most of my social profiles, I had the foresight 10 years ago to do it under my personal name.
Yeah. Great. We'll have the links to that in the show notes also. So finally then, who's someone that you consider to be your model for lead nurturing? And can you introduce us?
I absolutely can. And this is, it would be Ben Settle. And I'm going to just go on the record and say that his writing may not resonate with people, but he is a brilliant copywriter. And that's where I started doing the daily emails from. And I watched him. I subscribed to his list. And I probably watched the way he wrote every day for a good year before I became an email player. So that's his physical newsletter he sends out a customer. And then I've stopped subscribing just because I've got enough on my plate right now. But I watch his emails. And there was, for me, because watching lead nurturing and seeing, like when I do the recap, sorry, and I'll get this quick, but the recap of the Creator's Pulse, it's for group members to go back and see what they missed, right? So there's links directly to specific content in the group. So that's one thing. But watching him tell a story and take a stance, I mean, you know his opinions on things, and sell that newsletter almost every single day. I mean, every single day. And he has a thriving business. I thought, well, the way I've been doing it hasn't worked. And I don't write in his language. And I tend to be more, I don't know, using self-deprecating humor or funny or positive, right? But I watched and I would say Ben Settle. I mean, it was really, he got me thinking about copy differently. He got me thinking about, okay, what are the business pieces that need to be happening? And this whole thing with nurturing and strategy, Jürgen, comes down to, it's just like content. The best strategy is whatever you can do consistently and measure and adjust. There's so many different ways to do all of this, but you have to find what you're going to do and make it work. So I'd say Ben Settle, and I'm happy to do an email introduction if that works for you.
Yeah, that works for us. That's great advice. And Ben will come looking for you and perhaps get you on a future Model the Masters episode. So thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights and being so generous with persisting with my questions today on this Model the Masters episode, Kim. I'm really appreciative of that. And I know, you know, we've been in touch for a long time and we'll continue to keep in touch.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jürgen. It's always a blast.
Yeah, thanks.
I hope you enjoyed this Model the Masters signature episode and learned from my discussion with Kim. A summary of the values, beliefs, and strategies that Kim shared with us can be found at modelthemasters.co/Kim Doyle. That is KIMDOYAL. All lowercase or one word, modelthemasters.co/Kim Doyle. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Kim there and thanking her for all that she shared. Kim nominated Ben Settle, copywriter and email marketing expert, as someone that she admires for lead nurturing. So Ben, we'll reach out to you and get you on a future Model the Masters episode to explore lead nurturing with you. Stay connected. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you make sure you'll never miss another episode. We'd also love you to leave us a review because what you think matters. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions or questions, share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic LinkedIn community at the Transformational Marketing Academy. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMAC. It's free to join. Hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.